I'd like to bring the House Environment Natural Resources Policy and Finance Committee to order. Representative Neuberger, could you move yesterday's minutes?
Certainly.
Discussion of the minutes of yesterday, March 16th. Thank you, everyone that wore green on Elena's birthday. She appreciates that. As you remember, last year we had my granddaughter Elena here for her sixth birthday on St. Patrick's Day, so thank you. Any discussion of the amendments? Seeing none, all amendments.
We're doing
the minutes?
The minutes.
The minutes. Say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are adopted.
He wants to get out of here. Quick.
Yes, there you are.
You got mine too, right?
Okay. Members, we just have one bill today on the agenda. We have Representative Hackbarth's House File 2993, commonly called the LCCMR bill. You have Executive Director Thornton with you, and I understand because we have the spreadsheet, maybe Representative Hackbarth, why don't you tell us the process you want to follow? Representative Hackbarth, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would move House File 2993 to bring the bill before us. The bill has to go to the floor?
To civil law.
Civil law. Exactly. Civil law. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I've got the director of the LCCMR here today, and she can proceed through the bill. I do have a few amendments, and do you want to take those after we run through the bill?
Right. Why don't we have Director Thornton just do a very high overview. Director Thornton, go ahead. Introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Good morning. My name is Susan Thornton, the director of the LCCMR, Legislative Citizen Commission, Minnesota Resources. And also with me today are our staff, Michael McDonough and Michael Varian. And we are staff to all of you for provide assistance. So,
Director Thornton, I know co-chairperson Nancy Gibson, maybe Ms. Gibson, you could stand so people know who you are, is also in the audience. She's one of the three co-chairs. She's the citizen co-chair of the commission. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair and members of the LCCMR around this table, in addition to Representative Hackbarth, are yourself, Representative Torkelson, and Representative Purcell. I missed anybody. We have a few former members here, too. So what's before you is the annual funding bill recommendations from the LCCMR for the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. And what is available from the trust fund, which is an endowment in the Constitution, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund has been adopted three times by the voters. And what's available is up to annually is up to 5.5% of the corpus value of the trust fund as of June 30th of the even year before the biennium. So in this case, that would be June 30th, 2014, that sets the amount available. And Mr. Chair and members, so that is approximately $46 million, and that is reflected in the recommendations of the LCCMR. Just a reminder, the LCCMR is made up of 17 members, 5 members from the House, 5 members from the Senate, and 7 non-legislative appointed members, 5 from the governor, 1 from the House, and 1 from the Senate.
Clean energy.
So the bill before you is the result of a competitive process in response to the request for proposal. In response to that request for proposal, 186 proposals came in for the commission review, totaling about $131 million. And through that, in review by the members, 97 of these proposals requesting approximately $70 million were chosen to present to the LCCMR last fall for additional information. And of those, 89 of these proposals are before you in the commission recommendation for funding from the trust fund starting next July. So, members, in your packet, you have a number of items, a spreadsheet with the recommendations, a summary sheet that speaks to the hearing dates process, what went through, the summary of recommendations by subdivision with a pie chart, and then on the other, summary of recommendations by proposer affiliation and what we call area of impact. whether it is metro or what we call both metro and regional, it's regional or statewide. And then two more items, Mr. Chair and members, and this is the piece I will also be going through. There is a long summary sheet that has the summary of the appropriations by subdivision, and then also because there's much overlap within the subdivision, because many of these appropriations are interdisciplinary in nature, we also give you some expected outcomes summary by what we call topical issue areas. And then we also, this is our traditional map that we do for you, which is where we have acquisitions, where those are, and the related dollar amount, acquisitions, both fee title and easements. So that's a very brief overview, Mr. Chair. Unless you would like more information, I will proceed through the briefly through the proposals.
Representative Hackbarth, do you want at this time Ms. Thornton to walk through the proposals, or is that, should we move to the
different topic area?
Okay, I think that's adequate at this time. We'll probably take some of the amendments, but let's first take any procedural questions. Representative Hausman.
Yes, mine was just because I don't serve on it. Do we have any sense of how many tours the group took, and then how many times they met? Any quantifying of the amount of work that that they have done on this?
Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, and members, this last cycle we had the hearings. We had 6 days of hearings, and day of allocations. We also had 2 site visits. A lot of time of members' time kind of fitting things in with the annual funding cycle. We used to do biennial, as you might remember. It kind of compresses everything into that 1 year with very busy people with and scattered around. It's approximately about 18 to 20 days over the over a year that members meet, review issues, review proposals, and discuss them amongst themselves.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Thornton, or Representative Hackbarth. I'm looking on page 26, and I don't serve on LCCMR, so I'm just, these two projects, the high-resolution climate projections and the clean energy initiative, and it talks about distributed clean energy investments. Could you maybe describe those a little bit more, because I'm, and just how many energy, renewable energy type of things have we done in the past, or have we always done some type of energy?
Representative Hackbarth or Director Thornton. Director Thornton, you want to touch on them? Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hansen and members. Yes, those are, a couple of questions. Air is the first word in the Constitution, and so we have always, in my tenure, we've always done some amount of renewable energy projects and related air and environmental impact. Energy and air go together. Energy and water, the nexus of energy and water. So, yes, it's always been an important part of the issues that the members have reviewed and a number of the appropriations that they have recommended to the legislature.
Representative Hansen, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Thornton. So these clean energy and climate projects, did they have a lot of support in the council?
Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair and members, my understanding of hearing things around the table, yes, and I did forget to mention in my overview that these recommendations were adopted unanimously by members last summer, and then the appropriation bill outlining that you have before you last December. So I did not hear anything else, and I can address the specific appropriations if you wish.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since we're on those pages that Representative Hansen just referenced, he asked about support on the committee. the high-resolution climate projections one, that lines 26.3 to 26.14, that also references that those projections are used in local long-term planning and implementation of resources. Does that mean there's also local community support around the state, and was that part of the process of local communities weighing in?
Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, yes. That appropriation is actually, it is focused on local impacts and enabling communities potentially to be more resilient from impacts of climate change, also to be used by the agencies in their management of natural resources, for ag, for best practices for soil and water management, for health, how it impacts people's health, rising pollen levels, drought, flood events, by MnDOT, predict changes in river and flows, so for the infrastructure. And it will produce these high-resolution climate model projections for the entire state. So it's really bringing it down to the local level to enable community decisions, shall I say, and also working with the state agencies and assisting those community decisions.
Thank you, Ms. Thornton. Representative Hackbarth, I believe you have the A9. And Representative Hackbarth, was it your intention to have Ms. Taylor walk through that amendment, or how did you want to do that? Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the A9 amendment. I would have a correction to the amendment, and I'd like to include this in my motion if I can. In the amendment, if I could delete lines 1.3 and 1.4 of the amendment.
And Representative Hackbarth, is there a second part to your oral amendment?
Maybe Ms. Taylor can tell us where that dollar amount change has to take place.
Okay, Ms. Taylor, why don't you note the modifications that Representative Hackbarth has? I believe the one is on line 1.3 and 1.4. Those deletions, and then there was a numerical change. I think it's on 228. Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, as Representative Hackbarth mentioned, lines 1.3 and 1.4 of the amendment would be deleted, and also on page 2, line 28, you would delete $2.5 million and insert $2.2 million.
Okay, members.
I'll incorporate that in my amendment, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hackbarth. Ms. Taylor, why don't you, to that modification, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hackbarth, or maybe Ms. Taylor. So by deleting that portion, then the money, are we in balance with your spending and the rest of the amendment?
Yeah, Ms. Taylor, or Mr. Hagemeyer. You can say what it is, too. Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, sure, I can speak to this. It would be removing the deletion of the $300,000 for the restoration of elk, and it would be reducing the appropriation in the amendment of $2.5 million to $2.2 million, so it would keep it in balance with what it was and is.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Taylor, why don't you walk through the amendment so members can follow in their bill and the audience what the amendment does.
Mr. Chair and members, on the A9 amendment, the first line, 1.2, this instruction would delete the Minnesota Vegetative Buffer Assessment and Prioritization Project, and then the next two lines have been removed. And then on line 1.6 through 1.15, this would add a new project that would provide $1.5 million to the DNR to map aggregate resources in counties that have not been mapped before. And then lines 1.16 through 1.26, this would add $1.5 million to the DNR and for a study of the impacts of land use changes in the Pineland Sands area. This is from the governor's supplemental budget recommendation. And then moving to page 2, lines 2.1 through 2.4, this modifies the school forest outdoor classroom project. This would make it so the money would go directly to the Conservation Corps of Minnesota and Iowa, and eliminate the training portion of the project. Lines 2.5 and 2.6, this would delete the workshops and outreach for non-toxic ammunition alternatives project. Lines 2.7 through 2.13, this would delete a project of thermally modified wood nesting boxes for birds, and then add a new project, which would provide $500,000 to the Wildlife Science Center. Line 2.14, this would remove a project for the U of M for solar cells manufacturing project. Lines 2.15 and 2.16 were some technical changes requested by LCCMR staff to align a project to the work plan. Lines 2.17 and 2.18 would delete the high-resolution climate projections project. Lines 2.19 through 2.26, this would add 2.214 million for to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for RIM. 2.27 through 2.34, and then continuing on to 2.3, this would add a new project that would provide 2.2 million to the incorporated chain to the Commissioner of Transportation to do some wildlife habitat along a number of interstates. And then online.
Ms. Taylor, I'm just going to ask you to stop. To the members of the audience and those watching on TV, we are having some technical difficulties. Staff is aware of it, but they are working on it, and I think they'll continue to, so I apologize if. It's not like we don't know what's happening. They've been working on it all morning. Continue, Ms. Taylor.
And then on 3.5, this would remove the State Parks and Trails Acquisition Project. And then lines 3.6 through 3.16 would remove the acquisition portion from the SNA application. 3.17 would delete Minnesota Point Pine Forest SNA Acquisition Project, and then lines 3.18 through 3.20 would delete the Wilder Forest Acquisition. Then line 3.21 through 3.26 would add a replenishment of the Emergent Issues account for $164,000. I believe this is what the LCCMR spent in their last recommendation. Then the remaining is technical.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to speak a bit to process that. That's why I asked the question about the amount of time put forward. I think last year we maybe did, I don't know, two projects, and now we're up to, I've sort of lost count, I think nine. And I mean, there's a part of me that says, well, should we just step back and say, okay, time to get rid of the LCCMR because we're really not going to honor all that work. I mean, this is a group of people, citizens and members, who spent time touring the state, sitting around a table, making decisions just, with a lot of work and effort. And so it's frustrating without, I mean, those of us who didn't serve, suddenly we were sort of undoing that product without any real opportunity to stop and hear from people. So it's a sort of frustrating, disappointing undoing of so much good work that a lot of people engaged in. And I don't know if anyone can help me understand why we would encourage them to do this again next year.
Thank you for those comments. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Thornton, I want to go over some of these new projects. So aggregate mapping, was that a proposal that was heard in front of LCCMR, or was there any? I'm wondering if these are projects that were heard and not went through the process but weren't accepted or weren't voted for, or are they something new? So the On the amendment line 1.17, the aggregate mapping, is that something that was heard in the LCCMR or not?
Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, no.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Thornton, on line 1.16, the Pineland Sands Lands and Water Study, is that something that was heard by the LCCMR or not?
Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, no.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On line 2.8, the Wildlife Science Center, is that something that was heard by the LCCMR or not?
Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, no.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Thornton, on line 2.20, the Reinvest in Minnesota, I know we've talked about that as bills. I think I actually presented a bill in committee last week, but was that heard by the LCCMR or not?
Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, no, it was not.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on line 2.27, the Pollinator Highway Demonstration Project, Ms. Thornton, was that heard by the LCCMR or not?
Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, no.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the projects that were deleted, they were all voted on unanimously by the LCCMR at the end.
Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, as I spoke to earlier, yes, they were.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I could be wrong on some of these. I know, Mr. Chair, you and I had put a bill in on the RIM reserve for bonding, but I'm not. I've been looking at the bill introductions. I don't know if we've seen a bill introduction for aggregate mapping or Pineland Sands and Water Study. I know the governor has it in his budget, supplemental budget for general fund, but not taking it from the LCCMR. Wildlife Science Center, Pollinator Highway Demonstration Project, I don't think there's been any bills introduced for the public to see. So we have a pretty substantial amendment here that, you know, I guess, Mr. Chair, after being around here for a while, I get to see patterns. And we see patterns where there's significant change. And I know we made some changes yesterday, but this is quite a bit of change. And a lot of change in terms of where the dollars come from. Representative Hausman brought out that, you know, why do we have the process? And I could see, even if there was a disagreement on these, if they'd been heard in front of the committee and there were split votes in that, but when none of this was heard, and the science projects that were heard, the University of Minnesota projects that were heard, the climate projects that were heard, and even at the end, you know, talking about having a number of these things just changed, it looks like we've not only disregard the process, but we disregard many of the scientific projects where we don't even want to look for an answer here. I think I will ask for a roll call on this amendment. I know some of our members have some additional questions.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Roll call has been requested. Additional questions. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I served on the LCCMR for a couple of years, and I respect the work that the committee and staff does putting these projects together. But I was also told pretty much right up front when I became a member of the LCCMR that some of the recommendations that we may make to the legislature may be changed. And I think that that's not uncommon. We talked about, Representative Hansen talked about some of the changes that were made in the Lessard-Sams bill yesterday. You know, when I take a look at the changes that are being proposed in this amendment, I don't think that there's something in here that people don't see as being valuable. A lot of the things that we've talked about, I was at the Omaha banquet last night, and Commissioner Landwehr talked about the value of RIM and, you know, the leverage that the RIM program has. You know, I have an amendment coming up here in a little while that will kind of go to some of this stuff. I just think that, and I mean no I don't mean any disrespect to the people who volunteered to serve, the people who are here today, but I also think that that there are changes that are made, and to expect that every single project that any commission brings to the legislature, it's just going to remain exactly intact. I don't believe that that's an expectation that those commissions should have. And I appreciate everybody's hard work. I think that this is a good amendment. There's a lot of good stuff that's being proposed in here. That doesn't mean anything disrespectful to the process or the people that proposed them or to the people that voted on them at the table at the LCCMR meeting. So I support the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, I'm assuming I see some people have asked to testify because we're being asked on a roll call vote now to make some judgments. I'm assuming we could ask those people to come forward now before we vote. I see Mark Seeley and Peter Snyder in the audience, and they're on the list, or Dr. Snyder is. Since they are affected by this amendment, I'm hoping that testimony can happen before we vote on the amendment.
To that point, thank you, Representative Hausman. Just to let you know, we met with Ms. Thornton. It was only a few hours before the amendments were posted, but we met with Ms. Thornton when we saw the amendments that affected projects that were in the bill, and she reached out to every one of them that she could, and a number of them, I'll read their names, that were planning to testify before a roll call vote is taken there. If there are some that are affected by the bill and were not able to be reached, they'll have an opportunity at the next committee. Or I will reach out to Chair Knobloch. He has a different policy than the previous chairs, and I would ask him to consider at least allowing the public testimony for those that are impacted by the bill if they hadn't had a chance. But I know we reached out to all that we could before the deadline last night. I have a Dave Mueller. And if you're a doctor, I apologize. That's not in front of your name, but I would appreciate it if you would identify yourself as such when you come forward. Peter Snyder, Julia Ponder, they're all University of Minnesota. Mark Seeley, and then I have a Carl Nelson and co-chair Nancy Gibson. If there's any other ones that are wanting to speak to the amendment briefly, I would ask you to identify yourself and go to the pages and give them your name if you want to speak briefly to the amendment. I want to give everybody that wants to speak an opportunity, so we want to be very careful that just be very short, to the point, and then we'll move on. I have a few more members' questions before. Oh, and I have a J.D. Burton, I'm sorry, also is on the list. So if you could get your names, and then we'll get that clarified. We will vote on the last amendment before 10 o'clock today, so that's our plan. Members, I know we had Representative Fisher. Oh, my list got... Oh, Representative Rarick, you're next, and then I have Fisher and Hornstein, and then we'll move to testifiers. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one point I would like to bring up, express a little bit of concern. On page 6, line 6.34 and on, that is going back in. It is about the restoration of elk in northeast Minnesota. That is my district. And I know this is just for a study at this point, but since this has come up in my area, many, many people have expressed concern. And I know part of the plan is that it has to get local approval. I kind of wish that would have happened first before we spend money on this. Our county board took this up, and after they voted on it, many, many people in the area expressed a desire not to have elk brought in. What this is going to do is, you know, we already have a depredation fund that is underfunded, and now we'll be adding another area. So I've spoke to many farmers and hunters that really don't want to see this happen. But being this is just a study, I can be okay with it for now. But I really, really want to express my concern that we get local approval before we would move forward with actually bringing elk back in. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll wait till after the testifiers. They may get to the question that I have.
Okay. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is a question to the author of the amendment. I'm troubled by the deletion of the climate study at the U of M, and I have some theories about why it may be in here in the amendment, but I wanted to just ask the author, why was this particular project cited for a removal from the bill?
Representative Hackmarth.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Hornstein. There was a number of different issues in the bill that I had some concerns with, and we needed to add some things in, take some stuff out, and I talked to some folks on the Energy Committee, and we decided that was one that we were going to remove.
Representative Hornstein.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Hackworth, thank you. Was there a reason why the folks on the Energy Committee wanted to remove the climate study?
We just felt that...
Representative Hackworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. We just felt that it was didn't rise to the level of some of the other things that we needed to put back into the bill.
Representative Hornstein.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for that response, Representative Hackworth. And so, you know, here you have it. I mean, I think what's been said is that this is not a priority. And I think with everything that we have now learned, and I think we're going to hear more from the testifiers about climate, the urgency of climate change that the science is in, it's real. It's accelerating. Just a few weeks ago, we have more evidence of sea level rise, and of course, throughout Minnesota, we're seeing more evidence of this. And so, you know, this ongoing, you know, continual denial of the science, the urgency, the reality of climate change is just disturbing. You know, we had this vote on the floor where the majority last year basically said, all but one, that. You know, basically denying the science and denying the reality and denying the urgency and the consequences of it. And so I think that's what's going on here, members, and I'm very concerned and disturbed by that.
Thank you. I'll read the list of testifiers. We'll start with J.D. Burton, Dave Mula, Peter Snyder, and Mark Seeley. I believe you're both with the same project, so you can come down together. Julia Ponder, Carl Nelson, Gary, you're up in the back. You'll know. You'll do better with your last name than I will. Doggone range names. Peggy Booth and then Chair Gibson. So we'll go like that. 2 minutes each, and I will stop you at the 2 minutes because I want to allow everybody, the last one testifying has as much right as the first one. So 2 minutes, get your point. If you could tell us which project, if you're talking about a specific project, if you could let us know which project it is. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is J.D. Burton. I am State Relations with the University of Minnesota. I am not here to speak to any specific project. I just, in general, want to offer our concern with the removal of the projects that were associated with the University of Minnesota. I first, however, of course, want to express our appreciation to the LCCMR and the committee for including the numerous University of Minnesota projects that remain in the bill. There were, at my last count, about 39 projects that were included or came out of the LCCMR to the University of Minnesota in some capacity, but there are, of course, with this amendment, removing a few of them. The administration, in terms of government relations, does not weigh in directly on one project or the other. We let the research stand, and we let the LCCMR make those decisions as they see fit. So we don't compare one to the other, but we certainly stand in support of the research that is done at the University of Minnesota in general, and we think that as the LCCMR has made those recommendations, that those would be supported moving forward. So again, I'm just here to offer our general concern and ask that these projects that were removed be reconsidered. But in full support of the other projects that were included.
So thank you, Mr. Burton. Next, I'd like to hear from Mr. Mila. And if I remember right, it's Dr. Mila, excuse me. You could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, honored members. My name is Professor David Mula. I'm in the Department of Soil, Water, and Climate, same department as Peter Schneider and Mark Seeley. They're my colleagues. I'm here to talk about the Minnesota Vegetative Buffer Assessment and Prioritization project, which was included in the amendment that Representative Hackbarth put forward for deletion. This project aims to work collaboratively with the Minnesota DNR on the Governor's Buffer Initiative to catalog areas that require a buffer. This project will build on the DNR mapping project. It will not duplicate it in any way. The DNR buffer mapping project aims to map the Minnesota public waterways and public drainage ditches. Our project, which was recommended unanimously by LCCMR, will analyze the maps produced by DNR for 67 agricultural counties using high-resolution aerial imagery, and we will determine which of these public waterways and public drainage ditches are currently unprotected by vegetative buffer strips. Our project will then use the high-resolution LIDAR data, which was developed in Minnesota as a very unique product, to assess the potential for runoff, erosion, and water storage in landscapes adjacent to these unprotected public waterways and ditches. Then we can make recommendations that will help the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and the DNR to implement the Governor's Buffer Initiative. These recommendations could include things like alternative practices that would be needed for protection of the waterways. I want to mention also that the timeline of this project is well coordinated with the timeline of the DNR buffer mapping project and with the governor's buffer law, so that the products we develop will be available in time for implementation according to the timeline that the governor has set forth.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll hear from Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Dr. Mello. My comment is that seems like very valuable information as we move forward with the buffer implementation. If this is not done, where would we get that sort of information?
Dr. Mullen.
Mr. Chair and honored members, thank you for your question. If this is not done, it would be very difficult to get that type of information. The local soil and water conservation districts do not have, in many cases, the capacity or the capabilities to do the type of analysis that we are proposing.
Okay, thank you. Next, we'll hear from Dr. Snyder and Dr. Seeley. Welcome to the committee. If you could identify yourself for the record. Limit your testimony to 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mark Seeley with the Department of Soil, Water, and Climate. Dr. Peter Snyder, also my colleague in the same department, speaking to the climate projections for an aid in planning efforts at all scales in the state of Minnesota. I've served this state as your extension climatologist. I've been a public servant for 38 years. No one knows Minnesota's climate and weather history more than I. I also realize the impacts. I've also served on your state Climate Adaptation Partnership Committee since 2008. This is a well-grounded proposal. This proposal is from the bottom up. All our local units of government, from municipalities, public works departments, soil and water conservation districts, and a variety of others, are behind the notion of doing more in terms of planning, but using the high-resolution tools that are now available to us to look at the geographic disparities and climate projections for our state. Our state is acknowledged to be one of the states in our country that is being already the most affected by climate change. And this is very, very important. A lot of investment, a lot of visiting with all the different varieties of stakeholders has gone into this project, and we place a very high value on it.
Thank you, Peter.
If you want to
say welcome, something. If you could identify yourself for the record.
I am Peter Snyder. I am an associate professor in the Department of Soil, Water, and Climate. I would just like to say that I did not conceive of this project. I was approached by employees of six state agencies, the Minnesota Departments of Natural Resources, Agriculture, Transportation, Health, and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and asked if I would put forth a proposal to provide this actionable climate change information for these employees to implement adaptation plans for at local government scale. I have the capacity to do this in terms of my research area. I also have resources at the University of Minnesota of in-kind support of over $1 million to implement this through the Minnesota Supercomputing Institute. So what I would like to say is, as a faculty member of this state agency, of the land-grant institution, this is what my job is to help the people of the state and help the employees of the state do their jobs. And I have been asked of this, and this project is to implement that plan.
Thank you. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to get it on the record here that Mr. Seeley, Dr. Seeley, what you said about local units of government, absolutely, I've been hearing from my local units of government out in rural Minnesota here now, up north, that they really want this information. So taking this out, you're hurting my local municipalities and county governments, and I think that's blasphemous.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up on that, because that's what I'm understanding, too, that the end result of this is that all of those local communities perhaps can save money by better targeting when they're approaching a problem. I mean, ultimately, this information can potentially be a cost saving for a local community.
Absolutely, that's the case. The Climate Adaptation Practitioners Conference, we had a mayor's panel, and we also had a corporations panel. 3M, Best Buy, General Mills were represented on the panel. We have various scales of corporate expectation associated with this, various scales of governance that are associated with this, all of which are going to benefit from the output of a study like this. And we should be a leader nationally in this effort, because we're one of the states being most impacted by this.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming forward. Next we'll have Julia Ponder. Welcome. If you could identify yourself for the record. And is it Dr. Ponder? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dr. Julia Ponder. I am a faculty member at the College of Vet Medicine at the University of Minnesota and current director of the Raptor Center. With me is Dr. Pat Reddick, who is the former director and the founder of the Raptor Center and also a faculty member at the College of Vet Medicine. I'm here to speak on the project, the outreach and workshops for non-toxic ammunition alternatives. I know that there have been various discussions in various arenas recently about this whole topic. I really want to recognize that this is a sensitive issue. This proposal is, or this project, is about educational and voluntary approach to this issue. It's about giving hunters the information they need to make an informed decision on what they want to do, their own actions. It comes from a very broad perspective. It's important to know, and if you go back and look at the project and look at the people on the project, it has very, very broad support. 5 years ago, we started getting together on an annual basis with the Minnesota DNR, with deer hunters, with the Izek Walton League, with the Wildlife Society, with the Minnesota Conservation Federation. We had very, very broad roundtable to get together and ask, what is our common ground? How can we approach this problem? This project specifically came out of this broad consensus, and we proposed it to LCCMR to approach it with an educational opportunity to come to deer hunters and show them, allow them to have an experiential learning about the different characteristics of different types of ammunition, the health benefits, the hunting benefits, the ballistic benefits. As I said, this project came out of this particular broad coalition. We said this is how we as a group want to move forward. And so we proposed it 2 years ago. It has now been up recommended by LCCMR Commission twice. We were taken out last year. We brought it back and were again recommended unanimously for support. And so we'd like to ask for your support to bring this back in, because it is an educational and a voluntary approach to a problem that we all recognize.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything to testimony? If you could identify yourself for the record.
Yes, I'm Dr. Patrick Reddick. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I have no further comments to add.
Thank you, Dr. Reddick. Thank you both for coming forward. Next, we have Carl Nelson. Welcome. If you could identify yourself for the record and keep your testimony to 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm actually Joe Sullivan. I'm with the Center for Energy and Environment. I work with Carl.
Welcome, Mr. Sullivan.
I'll be very brief. Well, we are very excited to start work on this project. It's a geotargeting project. It was a popular project with the LCCMR. We're happy to be a part of the process, and a little disappointed that that it was pulled out. But our hope is that at some point in the future, the committee would put the appropriation back in. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing no questions, thanks for your testimony. Mr. Cirkvenek, there, I think I might have got it halfway decently. If you could come forward and talk about your proposal. Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Gary Cirkvenek, and Peggy Booth is here with me from the DNR to answer questions on this. And I'd just like to take a moment to say my name means churchgoer in Slovene, and so maybe that might help me get a vote or two on this amendment. Mr. Chairman.
He's playing the Rukavina card.
You're using up your 2 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, the amendment would eliminate the Sky Harbor project, which affects the Sky Harbor Air Base in Duluth, which is on Minnesota Point. And it's a complex project where we have to reconstruct the runway, and it has $9.5 million of federal money attached to this $500,000 appropriation that the LCCMR considered. We're removing the runway to protect a scenic and natural area that we're not allowed to touch. The trees are growing too high, the airplanes can't take off, and there's federal, state, and local rules prohibiting the elimination of those trees, and so we have to shorten the runway, and this is a long and complex project that's been in part of the Duluth Airport's plan for a number of years. And with respect to your decision-making process, I would just like to note that it would affect that project greatly and affect construction jobs related to that plan. And if the Duluth Sky Harbor project does not move forward and is forced to shut down, it would mean an $8 million property tax impact with the closure and payback of FAA funds from the city of Duluth. So with that, Mr. Chairman, stand for questions and maybe Peggy
might want to. Thank you for your testimony. And Ms. Booth, why don't you identify yourself for the record and then also speak to the other one that affects the SNAs, if you would, at this time, as long as you're there. Go ahead.
Yes. My name is Peggy Booth. I work with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and I supervise the Scientific and Natural Area Program. And I'm the project manager on the Minnesota Point Pine Forest Scientific and Natural Area Acquisition, which starts on line 33.25, and I'll speak to that first. We are happy to have this recommendation by the LCCMR and to be able to work with the Duluth Airport Authority. We feel that this is very much of a win-win situation. This forest is the only one of its kind in Minnesota, and it's also very unique in the world as a pine forest on a sandbar dune. And because of a number of state and federal regulations and a conservation easement, it is not an option to cut down the forest. And we want to be able to work with the airport authority to be able to continue to have the airport function safely and be able to be used for the city as well as protect this very unique resource. The other project that I am project manager on is the Scientific and Natural Area Acquisition and Restoration Project, which starts on line 33.1. And the recommendation has been to retain the restoration funds for the SNA program, and for that I am grateful. But to eliminate the acquisition means that there are key, unique natural habitats that won't be able to be protected. We've provided a list of about 25 parcels that are high priorities for us, and we would acquire those which the landowner is most anxious to move ahead and that are our highest priorities. There are about a half a dozen native prairies, and we are still finding that native prairies do get plowed up these days, and so those are a very high priority to us. There is an example, the Franconia Bluff SNA site contains a designated trout stream and unique habitat, and we'd like to be able to protect that and make that available for public fishing as well. There's also a project in Crow Wing County that is part of a larger project, so the county board has already given us approval to it, as well as having an interested landowner. So those are just some examples of projects that we feel are very important and very timely, and we would appreciate being able to acquire them with this funding.
Thank you both for testifying. Thanks. Last I have Chairwoman Nancy Gibson, if you could come forward. And evidently, Ms. Gibson, you're bringing along Vice Chair Mr. Broberg. So if you both could take your seats, you'll both be limited to 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Thank you. My name is Nancy Gibson, and I am the co-chair of the LCCMR. And with me is the vice chair, Jeff Broberg. I just wanted to give you a glimpse, a little bit, of our process and the role that we think that the citizens serve on this committee. Number one, we joined with our legislative members on October 20th and December 2nd with the unanimous vote to move this package forward. And let me tell you a little bit about the citizens and our careers. We have advanced degrees in environmental assessment, watershed management. We have careers in geology, watershed management, wildlife ecology, botany, restoration ecology, forestry, water resource management, public land management, civil engineering, and we have a former county and IRRB commissioner. So we have a vast array of experience. We bring this experience to the LCCMR. We have good attendance, we have good participation, and we really value the experience and the perspective the legislators bring to this process as well. And with that, in the spirit of cooperation, collaboration, we put together this package. Do we have disagreements? You bet. Do we try to forge agreement amongst ourselves? You bet. And we make a good package. What we try to do is put together a package that affects the entire state, and it's a bit of a puzzle. And when you remove some of these projects, we are removing very important parts of the puzzle. In addition, I want you to think about the proposers. We originally had 186 projects. We got them down to 89 proposers. We are asking these proposers to fine-tune their projects, rework their work programs, engage their partners, raise private funding, and create a work program that's going to fulfill some of the incredible needs that we have in the state. We address challenging issues, and we're asking you to consider this arduous process and keep the integrity of this package.
Thank you, Chair Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair Broberg. Go ahead. And members, I'm Jeff Broberg. I'm the citizen co-chair, and I just want to make a couple of quick points. We started with almost 200 proposals of a broad spectrum that was open to all comers. And I'm concerned personally that the things that are in the deletions here really go to the issues of addressing gaps in knowledge, of things that we need answers and advice. They address some difficult issues with potential broad impacts. They address elements of scale that are important for all of us to understand in resource management. And they address statewide recreation and land protection of some of Minnesota's most cherished resources and important places. So I'd ask that you keep the package together and make a consideration. The replacements are single item issues that target very small people. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, we have one more testifier, I guess, come forward. Mr. Cowan, Chris Cowan. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand. Anybody else want to testify for or against the bill? Okay, thank you. Or the amendment. I'm sorry. If you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent. Thank you. Keep your testimony less than 2 minutes.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Chris Cowan, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Pesticide Action Network. Minnesota has a clear process in place for studying the impacts of projects like Hardy Offit's expansion of its potato fields into the Pineland Sands Aquifer. The environmental review process, which begins with an environmental assessment worksheet. We should not set a precedent for dedicated funds or taxpayer dollars to pay for projects like this. This is the Pineland Sands reference in the bill. Hundreds of rural residents who live near the project area have signed a petition calling for environmental review and not this special study. PAN and the Toxic Taters Coalition oppose spending public money on this study. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, could you just review for us what kind of toxic exposures we're concerned about here?
Mr. Collin?
Mr. Chair and Representative Clark, I haven't done a lot of work on this bill, on this issue. I am generally aware of it. But the concern is there of cutting down the forest and the potato fields that would go in, and then the use of herbicides and pesticides on those potatoes, and the sandy soil there, that those pesticides, the concern is, would go right into the aquifer. And there's a lot of people who depend on that aquifer for clean drinking water and other uses.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, unless it's changed, I think one of the major components of some of the pesticides that are used on potatoes is arsenic. I'm just wondering if we have anybody here who can give us a little bit more information on that.
Well, Representative Clark, I would save that for another time, but I want to say that Mr. Cowan is speaking against us allocating money to study this issue. He thinks that it should be paid for other than out of this fund. That's what he was speaking to, but we're actually recommending funding of $1.5 million to do this study in this area for some things that I think many of us think would be good things, information to find out. Mr. Cowan was speaking that he doesn't think that the public should pay for that, if I understand correctly.
That Mr. Chair, that is correct. Yes.
Thank you.
It's the how, not so much the what.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming forward. Representative Hackbarth, you want to come back forward to the table? And Ms. Thornton, if you could. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Fabian.
Well, Mr. Chair, just a quick point on this particular issue. It's my understanding that this is kind of an agreement that was reached between the industry, the RDO, and the stakeholders who were opposed to what they were doing, and this is dollars that are going to actually go to fulfill kind of an agreement that was reached to study it.
I think you're paraphrasing it accurately, Representative Fabian. Mr. Collins' question was whether it was the appropriate place to pay for it. I think was his only argument. He thought money should come from somewhere else. Representative Hackbarth, two-year amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would renew my motion to adopt the A9 amendment as modified.
Okay, and there's some questions at this point. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if I have any other members who wanted to go before. I just wanted to close on it.
Okay. Representative Horne.
Just one quick thing, thought I wanted to share, Mr. Chair and members. When Dr. Seeley testified, he said that, Minnesota is one of the states most impacted by climate change. And, you know, it's our wood products industry, it's our agriculture industry, it's our farmers. He mentioned the corporate community that's stepped up. You know, everyone understands this issue. Everyone understands the urgency of it. And to have a small, tiny portion of this bill, less than 1%, dedicated to a strong scientific inquiry that was thoroughly vetted and went through the process, and to delete that, I think is outrageous. And I think Representative Purcell said blasphemous. I mean, we can use all kinds of adjectives. So I hope that we'll rethink this. I really think it's hugely problematic. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And here we go again. We have a major amendment that's proposing funding of projects that weren't even vetted. We have no idea the details on them. The public has gone through a process to propose, and this amendment takes a wrecking ball to that. It takes a wrecking ball to scientific inquiry. It appears that the amendment doesn't want to look for things where it might find an answer it doesn't like. It takes a wrecking ball to jobs. We heard heard about the impacts up north with the airport. It takes a wrecking ball to climb it. But we've heard that before, Representative Hornstein. Takes a wrecking ball to reality. I urge its rejection.
Clerk will call the roll. McNamara votes aye.
Fabian?
Aye.
Clark?
No.
Cornish?
Aye.
Eklund?
No. No.
Benton?
Aye.
Fisher?
No.
Green?
Aye.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hancock?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Hausman?
No.
Heintzman?
Yes.
Hornstein?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Neuberger?
Aye.
Purcell?
No.
Poppy?
No.
Lyric?
Yes.
And Torkelson?
Aye.
There being 11 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is adopted. Next, members, I'd like to take up the A-10 amendment. Representative Torkelson, is that your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A-10.
Representative Torkelson moves the A-10 amendment. Representative Torkelson, would you explain the amendment just quickly?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The A-10 deals with the emerging issues account that is part of LCCMR. We have a some dollars that are kind of set aside for emerging issues, and this amendment deals not with projects that have already been approved, but which how we might handle this these emerging issues in the future, just to assure that when we when we appropriate funds for emerging issues, that we fully fund the issue that we are dealing with.
Okay, any questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Torkelson, I have a couple questions. So it talks about projects and programs, and is the effect of the bill to kind of limit or prohibit research projects? Is what you're trying to do is it must be an acquisition or a thing versus let's say there was a new fish disease or something like that. I'm trying to understand where you're going on this.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, my understanding of the amendment is not to limit what sorts of things might be the emerging fund would be used for, but to make sure that the things that we do fund are fully funded, not just kind of setting aside, kind of starting funds to get something going, but to actually take on something that's going to be fully funded.
Representative Hansen, in the last LCCMR meeting, the previous meeting in December, the LCCMR made a recommendation to partially fund a blue-green algae project and started it. And there's a process where they can do that with a recommendation to the administration. And it was recommended, I believe, $164,000 should be spent to start that project, even though the whole final part of the project was hundreds of thousands of dollars and wasn't funded yet. And I believe Representative Torkelson's idea amendment would clarify that if you're going to do an emerging issue, that it actually be something of urgency and you should fully fund it so you wouldn't have the catch-22. We have the blue-green algae project still in the bill, but if it would have been the wishes of the legislature and it's still not through the process to not fund that project, I don't know what happens when you fund a project at 20% of it and the last 80% gets cut off in the middle. So I think we're trying to do some good government here to clarify what was probably not a good process. Representative Hansen.
And Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. And maybe Representative Torkelson, just to get it clear on the record, this amendment wouldn't prohibit research.
Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, that is absolutely correct. This would not prohibit research projects.
All those in favor of the A-10 say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The A-10 is adopted. Next, members, I have the A-6. Representative Fabian, yours, I believe, is the A-6.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, this is my amendment, and I think the gist of this is I would like to see us give more priority to the large-scale projects, the ground projects and programs that and provide more tangible results. And one of the things that Representative Hansen and I agree on is RIM, for example. I would like to see that we give priority to those. And again, it doesn't mean that something else is eliminated, can't do it, but I just think that some of these larger scale projects deserve more scrutiny and more priority through the process.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Fabian. I was looking for that hat you won last night. I thought it was...
That I paid for?
That you paid for, that you won. What if those large-scale projects are acquisition projects in your district? How does that work out?
Representative Fabian.
Well, thank you for the question. And, of course, you know that is a hot-button issue in my district. And I think that we are putting some other processes in place that require county commission approval on acquisitions and those types of things. So I think we can work through that.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, and I understand the intent here. But I also know as we've moved into the legacy time where legacy has done more of the large-scale projects and those phase one, phase two, phase three, following up on my line of questioning with Representative Torkelson, I think the LCCMR still should be working on research. And some of the research is not large-scale projects. So I think the merit should be on the quality. And I'm a little worried here that we move towards designating a priority that is acquisition rather than doing some of the research or some of the climate work that Representative Hornstein was referencing. So I think I'm going to vote against this one.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Halsman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine focuses on those two words, tangible results. Who defines that? Who makes the judgment?
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, that would be initially up to the LCCMR working group. It's made up of the citizens and the legislators, and then also, of course, it would eventually come to us. And it is a subjective idea. I think we deal with a lot of subjective things throughout the processes that we have here in the legislature. So ultimately, it would rest with us.
Representative Clark.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, it would also then be up to the proposers to try to give us an idea of how we would measure those tangible results.
Representative Karen Clark.
Thank you,
Minneapolis.
Mr. Chairman. I know we got a couple of Clarks on this committee. I just wanted to wonder also, is there a definition of the word large scale? Is there a parameter that we're looking at there, a numerical definition?
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clark, no, there's no definition. And, of course, again, this would be up to the commission to work through that process. I just think that we have some very large needs. Representative Hansen talked about acquisitions. I'm also, I believe that many of these dollars could be used for more restoration. We've seen the report from the legislative auditor back in 2011 or 10, whatever that report was, talking about how the state of Minnesota has, in essence, more land than it can manage effectively. And I think that we need to do a better job of managing the lands that we have and taking care of the resources and restoring those and getting some of our wildlife management areas so that they're actually becoming wildlife management areas. I won't use the term that's used in my district here today, but I think that we can do a much better job if we focus our efforts on some of these other issues that may come forward. And then it allows us more flexibility, I believe, to tackle some of these big projects.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Clark.
Well, I was just wondering, I mean, there's a lot of different size projects that are in the existing proposal, and I'm just, it would be helpful to know what was meant by large scale. There's things that have to do with youth and, you know, various small studies and so on. It's hard not to have any guidance on whatever large scale needs.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak against the amendment. It seems like this would just hamstring the council. And I look at a couple of projects that are local in my area. One is integrating targeted watershed at planning tools with citizen involvement. That seems like a valid project, but it's relatively small. Another one is the city of Mankato is working really, and Blue Earth County is really they're working together to deal with agriculture and urban runoff, and it's a big issue in the with the bend of the river, and I don't know if that would be called a large-scale project. And I think it's in some of those small-scale projects, and I recall past issues with some small-scale research projects that I think are remarkably valuable. This would hamstring the decision-making process, and I think it's ill-founded, so I encourage a no vote.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
The amendment's adopted. Next, members, we have the 8 amendment. That's Representative Fabian's amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a pretty simple amendment, and it's pretty well self-explanatory, but in the makeup of the LCCMR, we have members of the House, members of the Senate, and the citizen members. And what I'm proposing here is just simply that the House members choose their chair, the citizen members choose their chair, and the Senate members choose their chair.
Okay, thank you. Representative Fabian, and I've served a couple different stints on LCCMR. Some of them go back a ways when I actually served as Representative Osmond's designee maybe 10 years ago. And Ms. Thornton, remind me, I actually think we did this at different times, elected them this way, and then last time I think we did a process where everybody voted on each one. I think Representative Fabian is clarifying what has been a past practice. Director Thornton.
Mr. Chair and members, it was done this way. I looked back last night. It was done this way once, and I believe that was in 2006. Since then, the elections have taken place by the all three co-chairs have been elected by all members of the commission.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Fabian, on page 2, though, you're deleting language.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman. I think that's some technical language. Maybe Ms. Taylor can help with that.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, this just deletes some obsolete language since those initial appointments have been made.
Representative Hausman. Thank you. All those in favor of the A8 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
The A8 is adopted. Next, members, we have the A3. Representative Fabian, I believe that's your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it is my amendment. Simply what I'm doing here is making the LCCMR subject to the same open meeting laws as the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council.
Discussion to the A3. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm just checking with council if that is the exact number, because I know we've had differing ones. So,
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, this would be the same reference that is used in the Outdoor Heritage Fund statutes.
Thank you. Discussion to the A3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Last, I have the A2 amendment. Representative Hansen, I believe that's your amendment.
Should look familiar. This is a similar amendment that passed out of the committee last year. Again, and Representative Heinzman, we talked a little bit yesterday, this is only on the appropriations that are in this bill. It's not on previously funded LCCMR or future funded. It's on these appropriations. So it's an opportunity to look at how this works if the agencies that are acquiring the limited amount of land that's being acquired try things without using the neonicotinoids. So, and I think with the research component that is involved here, this is an appropriate place where we could attempt that use. So I would move the amendment and ask for a roll call.
Representative Hansen moves the A2 amendment and asks for a roll call. Mank Mayor votes no.
Fabian?
No.
Clark?
Yes.
Cornish?
No.
Eklund?
Yes.
Fenton?
No.
Fisher?
Yes.
Green?
No.
Ackbarth?
No.
Hancock?
No.
Hansen?
Yes.
Hausman?
Yes.
Heintzman?
No.
Hornstein?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Neuberger?
No.
Purcell?
Aye.
Poppy?
No.
Rarick?
No.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Do I get to vote?
Representative Torkelson, go ahead.
No. What did I do?
There being 8 ayes and 12 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Hackbarth, we're back on your House File 2993 as amended. Be recommended to pass and go on to civil law. Representative Hansen, to the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members and Minnesotans. Although there are a number of good things in the bill, it's been wrecked. Vote no.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Any more testimony to the bill? Representative Hackbarth, thank you for your work on the bill. I think there's some real good things in here that have been added. Representative Fabian, thank you for raising the questions in regards to what is good direction for LCCMR and the process. I very much appreciate the good government cleaning up and having more transparency in this process, and that'll be good. So thank you. All those in favor of House File 2993 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
The House File 2993 is passed and sent on to civil law. Members, we are adjourned for the rest of St. Patrick's Day.